And here we go, here we go!
You're listening to another episode of the Gingers Talk Football Podcast. Ready? Bringing you the hottest previews, picks, recaps, and analysis from around the NFL. Here's your hosts, two tortured fans, proud Gingers, and brothers from another mother. Literally. French Golden and Craig Fountain.
Welcome to Gingers Talk Football. I'm one of your hosts, Craig Fountain, here with my brother from another mother, French Golden. How you doing today, French?
I'm doing good, man, but my nose isn't doing so good right now.
If you are watching on YouTube, French has a wound on his nose. Yeah. His nose. It is news, but he has a wound on his nose, and he has a Band-Aid. And if you're not on YouTube, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, head on over to YouTube and leave a comment letting French know you see him in his wound. He's very self-conscious of it right now.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, man. Like, I wish it didn't happen. It was a pool accident if anybody wanted to know. And it just happened at the worst place in my face. It's like right at the top of my nose, where it's in between my eyes. So when I'm at work, people are looking at me like, oh my gosh, like, what happened? Like, are you okay? Like, I'm like, I'm fine, I promise. Like, I'm good. It's just, I hate it that it's there, you know? So it's all right, though. Yeah.
Here's the other thing you can find if you seek us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. French will get the videos posted of the episode. You can see his brand new Gingers Talk Football hat. Yes, yeah. That is right. Gingers Talk Football merch. And this hat is awesome. We don't have like a store, I guess, but if you get a hold of French is handling some of the merch. He can actually get you hooked up with a hat. Check it out. Find the video on YouTube. Check out the hat. Let French know if you want to order one. They're awesome. Absolutely awesome. Let's talk some football. Jarvis Landry. Let's start off with Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints. He is in the NFC South. New Orleans Saints, 1 year, $3 million deal, $3 million deal, worth up to $6 million with incentives. He was rumored to go to the NFC South. First, the Atlanta Falcons, and then there was a lot of speculation he may re-sign with the Browns if they could come to an agreement. But it's the New Orleans Saints. Are you surprised to see him land in New Orleans, French?
Actually, whenever the offseason talks about it, the offseason talks about him maybe not being on the Browns. You know, there's always teams that come out for these guys like, oh, here are the best landing spots and. And New Orleans had to be one of the early ones. And I kind of picked that out of the bunch because I knew he was an LSU guy. I knew that for sure. But what I didn't know was when Tyrann Mathieu just signed with the Saints, I believe they are actually in the same draft class, if I'm not mistaken, right? They're both from 2014. Mm-hmm. I should look this up before I talked about this, but am I right?
Yeah, 2014.
Okay, cool. And I just thought, you know what? Now that it makes sense with Tyrann Mathieu going back to Louisiana, where he's from, where he played college ball at, gets to reunite with his former teammate on the other side of the ball, Jarvis Landry. And Jarvis Landry is also an LSU guy as well, too. I don't know. I just think it's cool. I think the Saints are going to be a very good team anyways this year, so I'm actually excited. And that Jarvis Landry signing does bring a lot of depth to that offense for sure. I mean, just imagine him pairing up with a really healthy Michael Thomas this year, and the gunslinger and Jameis Winston. Like, I think that'd be such a cool offense, in my opinion. But do you think he has a rejuvenated type of year in New Orleans? You know, because he spent his first 4 years in Miami, then he spent the next 4 years with your team. But now he goes back home. So does he get sort of like his swagger back? Does he get like his juice flowing? Like, what has happened? Could he become a wide receiver one in case Michael Thomas really ultimately does not work out?
Yes and no. So here's the thing about Jarvis Landry. He can be your wide receiver one if called upon. You don't want him to be, though. That is not where he excels. And he had a record-setting career in Miami. He was, you know, when it comes to the number of receptions, he was like number one all time. He was the first player in NFL history to catch like 100 balls 4 years in a row or something ridiculous like that. But the problem was he's sure-handed and he was effective, but it didn't translate into a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards because it was dink and dunk volume type stuff. And then he goes to Cleveland and we saw flashes of him being able to open up. Now, one of the things Landry brings you is culture, right? Like from a veteran perspective, he's going to bring you culture. And as a Browns fan, we saw that firsthand when he landed in Cleveland and the Hard Knocks were covering the Hard Knocks by the NFL and HBO. They were covering the Browns that year, the year Baker Mayfield was a rookie. He came into Cleveland and he said, listen, like he scolded the wide receiver room in a very fiery speech. One of the best Hard Knocks scenes in the history of Hard Knocks. And, you know, you're going to play through your injuries. You're going to tough it out. You're going to be a football player. And you need to, you know, demand the best of yourself if you expect anybody else to give it their all. You know, all these certain things. He's a fiery guy. He's going to get you taunting penalties. But ultimately what I'm getting at is he's well-rounded. He's not going to be the best at anything, but he's got a little bit of everything you want. Now, he was also extremely durable for the first portion of his career. He didn't have any injury issues until the end of his time in Cleveland. I think that when he missed a game for Cleveland, it was the first time in his career he didn't start a game. So, like, you know, if he can get back to that form, I mean, he was an Iron Man of sorts. He's getting to the end of his 20s. He is going to be a solid add for that team. But don't expect like that wide receiver one deep threat type stuff. You know, he's going to go across the middle. He's going to get you yards after the catch, but he's not going to burn anybody or anything like that. You know, it'll be interesting to see him with Michael Thomas. If Michael Thomas can stay healthy, my dynasty team would love to see a healthy Michael Thomas for freaking once. You know, give me the old Michael Thomas, but
for sure.
It's an interesting wide receiver core. He wasn't the only addition they made this year.
No, I think that it's a great signing. Like I say, as a really good veteran wide receiver. I mean, it's contagious, man.
It's contagious.
Contagious, bro.
Yeah.
It's contagious. Like it's just he's a cool dude, man. He's a cool wide receiver. I wish I knew it would take that much to sign him. Like, if I knew it would just take that much to sign Jarvis Landry, I would have been tweeting the Jaguars every freaking day saying, Jarvis Landry, sign him. Jarvis Landry, sign him. Like, nonstop, I would be tweeting those guys. Like, but I don't know. Maybe he was just waiting out for some big deal. Maybe they just called his bluff, and you know what? He's like, all right, fine. You know, the Saints are offering me something to go back home and play for you and prove myself. Like, you know, screw it. Let's do it. I like it, you know, and, you know, in his career, he's totaled 7,500 yards. He has 37 touchdowns total. He also has 688 receptions. So he's had a solid career. You know, I think his skill definitely, his stats really don't show how good wide receiver he is. I think you made a point with that earlier, but you know, he can be there when you really need him to be, you know, as a leader and step up. But like you said too, he can cause some problems like the taunting and all that too, but people love him in the locker room. I think he can have a good go at it. So I'm excited for him in New Orleans, man. The offense is going to be cool next year. So I'm excited. I'm a big Saints guy going this year for the NFC South.
Let me give you a piece of trivia. Mm-hmm. Landry's nickname is Juice. Do you know where he got that nickname or what it means?
Juice is like swag or something like that.
No, it's actually not. And I learned this recently. So back when he was at LSU, there was a teammate, and I can't even say the guy's name, Josh Dworasik or something like that. He gave Landry the nickname, and here's what it stemmed from. And this is a quote. When Landry was asked what his nickname meant, he said, he always told me, bro, you give me the energy. You make me want to come out here and play. You love what you do. He called that Juice. So, you know, it kind of stuck with him. His energy It's juice. So he energizes everybody around him, and that's really what he brings to the Saints. Now, interestingly enough, this situation got so attractive, right? You have Landry coming in. You have Michael Thomas, hopefully healthy, and Chris Olave, right? One of the better receivers in the draft, comes back. Whose attention did that catch, French?
I called Drew Brees, bro.
Yeah, it
Drew
did.
Brees is like
quick.
Drew Brees is like, wait, I'm not even a commentator. I'm just a studio guy right now. I do the pregame, the halftime, and also the postgame as well too. Like he's like and I'm just sitting here just talking about football where I could go be playing with those guys. Like I said, cool offense. Like it's very attractive. Good for Dennis Allen being a head coach, man. I think those guys can really do it, but. Hey, man, it caught the attention of Drew Brees. And let me go ahead and pull up the tweet that he tweeted that is causing all the speculation. So,
hold on. You hear that?
Go ahead. What?
You hear that?
No.
Boosh. Sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, man. I'm having alcohol on me. I got some water. Actually, since you're drinking, I'm just going to take a swig too. I'm gonna take a swig of water right there.
Yeah. All right, hit me with it.
All right, cool. So Drew Brees tweeted a couple days ago on the 15th. He said, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. Okay, so I'd be very surprised if he comes back and plays football. I'd be shocked.
Same.
I'd be shocked because think about it.
Give it a percentage.
Bro, I feel like the only guy I really know who actually could do it was actually Brett Favre for some weird reason. But by the end of his second career, at the end of his career, he had a bounty on his head. Like, he's straight up murdered.
I mean, at least he's not like Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning physically could not get the ball out.
Well,
like, you know, but what would you say percentage chance? If you had to give it a percentage, what chance would you predict that there's a possibility of Drew Brees coming out of retirement to play for the New Orleans Saints? Mind you, without Sean Payton, Sean Payton is not there anymore. Is okay. Can we start a conspiracy theory? Does that mean Drew Brees has a problem with Sean Payton? As soon as Sean Payton's gone, he wants to come back and play football?
I mean, so I don't know. You could be right. I mean, they've had a long career. I mean, a long career together, long relationship together. So things happen in that time span. But no, I just think that I'd be very shocked. I think it's a very low percentage. It's got to be like less than 3% for me that he plays football again, dude. I mean, it's just he retired by choice. I mean, also he had, you know, injury issues. He had a lot of rib problems. I know that. But ultimately, I mean, I know he made it more of a choice rather than like being forced out where he couldn't even throw the ball anymore. His arm was looking a little weaker at the end, but I don't know. He's 43, and I don't know. Like, Tom Brady consistently played. He didn't take a year off. I just think when you're that age, it's so hard to come back. Like I said, the only person I really can think that could do it was Brett Favre, but that's only one guy. But very low percentage he plays football again. What do you think?
Less than 1%. I mean, he's just his boys. That's all he's doing. And, and you know, he retired a Saint. He didn't spend his entire career there, but I mean, he's a Saint. He'll always be a Saint. It is what he is. You know, we don't even think of him as a Charger, but, you know, he's just hyping up his team. He's hyping up his boys. He's pointing out that their wide receiver core is so good on paper, at least right now, that he wants to play football with them. Doesn't mean he will, but, yeah, I think he's just hyping them up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good team, man. That's a good team. I'm calling it early on with them, man. I think they're going to the NFC South this year. I just think they're that good. And I like Winston. Some people just don't like him for some reason. It's a cool offense. I would be jealous too. But, I mean, the only thing I think of now is what if he doesn't stay with NBC, does he go to a different sports channel now per se, or does he just
did he have a one and done deal with NBC?
I don't know. He just said he's not returning. I don't know his like contract details, but I don't know if he's gonna go to like Fox or Amazon, or I know Apple's making a push here soon to try to grab some rights from the NFL to play those games. So I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe he just wants to. Maybe he's just chilling and just wants to troll everybody
what,
now.
What if he's gonna set himself up for a 20-year booth career with him and Tom Brady calling games together? Would that be something?
Dude, actually, that's such.
I'm teasing you now.
No,
you got excited.
That's actually really good. That's a really good thought. That's a really good theory. Is that you just making it up, or is that actually something?
I'm just kind of making it up, but you know, that's a wishful thinking.
No, that's actually not. That's not a bad idea, dude. If you can get these two guys in a broadcast booth together, this is like gonna be like the new John Madden, Al Michaels, man. This is gonna be Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Like, this could be so cool. Like, I don't even
know if that's realistic. I mean, obviously, like, Fox is willing to pay. They're giving Brady, you know, $375 million over however many years. Like, but like, some dumbass is going to comment and say, like, blah, blah, blah is locked up with, you know, Tom Brady's going to, I don't know. I don't know the contract situations of broadcasters. Who knows?
It's a lot of money, man, just to talk about football. Actually, if people are listening to this, just contact one of them or like Barstool and tell them to pay us a bunch of money to talk about football. We could do it.
Yes.
Yeah. If anybody has any connections out there, give some Ginger some love.
I mean, I'm a 50 bucks is 50 bucks kind of guy. You throw a milli down. I mean, anything can happen.
Dude, if Barstool gives us like 70 grand a year right now, I'd be like, all right, I'll do it.
Barstool.
Why not? I don't know. Maybe Pat McAfee reaches out to us. He's close by, kind of.
You never know.
You never know, man. All right.
Does Pat McAfee do anything besides the Pat McAfee show? Or does he have a thing like Barstool where there's a bunch of podcasts?
No, I think it's only his show. I think he's still not on that. Barstool's, I've learned definitely listen to a lot of podcasts and like listen to all those guys who like are in different like industries, but they're all kind of interconnected. I learned Barstool's very huge. It's large. Like listening to Dave Portnoy, Pat McAfee's still not at that level yet, but I'll be cool if Pat McAfee gets into that kind of space.
I don't think Barstool completely knows like even what its own affiliates are doing.
There's so
many of them and they're so big, like they probably have no idea. Like, no. You know, that do you ever see that video of Portnoy walking into the Chicago office and it's like a closet and he's like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? Like, this is not an office. This is a closet. Like, you guys have been working here for how long? And they're like, years. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you dumb? You know, like, he's probably still at that point. I don't know. There's so many of them.
I don't know. There's so many. Sign us. Give some Ginger some love, like I said. Anyways.
On to the next.
We can
call her daddy later. No, she's not with Barstool anymore.
No, they're not a thing no more. Yeah. Anyway. Treylon Burks.
Okay. Treylon Burks. All right. What do you think of Treylon Burks? Because, all right. So here's why Burks was in the news. And then let me ask you that again.
Yeah,
let me preface this with something.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Treylon Burks, there was a report that on the first day of practice that he couldn't complete a drill. Now, the reason for this is there was actually a legitimate medical reason, but it's still interesting. First day of rookie minicamp, he's from, like, he was playing in Arkansas, right? He was already down south. He couldn't complete one resistance drill before heading over to the sideline, and he tapped out of practice. Tapped out. Done.
Three,
he's got asthma.
Three reps. Oh, yeah, yeah. I did read about the asthma thing. I forgot that he did have that, man. That's crazy. It's
he better get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, he was, you know, they were talking about him not being used to playing in that weather. Is Arkansas really that different from, you know, presumably they were in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I think Arkansas is like a lot more humid.
I don't know. It'll be something to watch for. You know, that's a guy like you have to wonder, like when they have to go to Denver, like, is he that guy that's going to have to sit out that game? You know, we've had players that have had asthma issues that, they were either extremely limited or they've actually sat out entire football games playing in Mile High Stadium because of the elevation. So it'll be interesting. And the Titans gave up a good amount for him.
Yeah. They gave up, AJ Brown. And then in return, they got a number 18 pick from the Eagles and the 101st pick from the Eagles as well too, with the, which they drafted Burks with the number 18 pick. And then the, you know, the Eagles were willing to pay AJ Brown for 4 years, $100 million contract. So that my first thought was, this is interesting, because my first thought was, okay, that happened. What must have been their reactions when they saw him bending over on the sideline and then him trying to go back to practice, not able to, like, they must have known this, because they didn't make a big deal about it.
They had to have known about this. This is not something that would have made it past all the medical guys, all of the other teams. You know, this would be something that they would know up front. No, you know, I really, to me, when I read this report, like, it was clickbait, right? Like, first round rookie wide receiver Treylon Burks taps out of first NFL practice.
Mm-hmm.
You click on it, you go in, you read the article, and you're like, oh, fuck, he has asthma. It is what it is. Come on. Yeah. You know, not a story. It's a slow news cycle right now. We are going to get so much garbage in the news right now. So, but we're here to help you guys sort that out.
It's not a problem, because the second day of his rookie camp, like, he completed all the drills fine. Like, he completed his first full practice, like, no issues whatsoever. I watched a couple little snippets of him doing drills. He looked fine. Didn't look out of breath. Didn't look like he did, like, drills and, like, kind of hurt over the side and went, like, huffing and puffing and all that stuff. But, yeah, he looks fine. I mean, they must have saw something really, you know, big in him to draft him at number 18. And they're just hoping to God he's another A.J. Brown. So he's going to be interesting to see how he fits in the Tennessee offense. I just don't think Tennessee's going to be that hot next year, but that's just me. But go ahead.
Am I the only guy that thinks, like, $25 million a year for A.J. Brown's excessive? Mm. Like, am I living under a rock when A.J. Brown doesn't get me excited?
I mean, good. Okay, so I looked at it from a standpoint of, like, good for the Eagles, because I actually think he'll do really well in Philly. But just from a, I don't know. I wouldn't, if the Jaguars gave him $25 million a year, I probably would probably be like, I get it, but I just still think I'd be a little too uncomfortable with it, because he was injured last year quite a bit. Now, that does worry me.
The Jaguars would have given him $40 million a year. They would have given him that Christian Kirk money.
We did not have this conversation right now. Christian Kirk is a lot of his incentive base, so he has to play well in order to make that money.
I know. Balky's like, Urban Meyer's gone. Who's going to fuck us now? And he's like, hold my beer. I'll just do it.
Apparently, there's this undrafted kid named something Austin from Notre Dame that's undrafted free agent. That's supposed to be kind of an underrated stud in a way, but I don't know. Anyway, God, you got me off top with this freaking Christian Kirk shit. He's gonna be good, I promise you that, man. All right,
what are they paying him a year?
Well, it's 4 years, $72 million. It's very, like, incentive based, so let me look it up again. Just hold on one second.
It's gonna be like $7 million a touchdown or something.
He's gonna have to, like, play like he's scoring $7 million touchdowns in order to get $7 million.
No, I'm saying when you add up his touchdowns and then you divide what he's making by his touchdowns, it's going to come out to be like $7 million a touchdown.
That's pretty nice. Here, let's see here. All right. So, all right, here we got it right here. Okay. So the contract was 4 years, $72 million. Signing bonus was $20 million. Average salary is $18 million. Total guarantees $37.5 million. Okay. So, I mean, $37.5 million. Okay. So in 2000, next year, his base salary is $1.5 million. His signing is $5 million. Okay, then in 2023, his base salary is $15.5 million. Okay, then really good jumps up from there. Signing bonus $5 million. Okay, then it's the same throughout the next 2 years. Then, so his first year, he wasn't making anything, but he has to prove it. So I think there's something in the deal where they can cut him if he doesn't really perform. It's really in depth. It's a very in depth contract.
I could be completely wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I read this. Did the Jaguars sign Jimmy Smith's kid?
No, I don't think so.
Who signed Jimmy Smith's kid? I mean, that's a Jaguars legend.
Yeah, I mean, let me see here. Uh, Oh, wait, here, let me see here. Yeah, okay, never mind. He did. He did.
They did.
I didn't. Yeah, he
the Jaguars did.
Yeah, dude, he looks just like his dad, too, man. He looks like he's. Dude, he looks like he should be on the cover of like NFL Street, man.
NFL Street.
Yeah, dude. He just has that look to him, man. It's badass, but. Damn, I forgot that they. I didn't know if they signed him yet or not. I didn't pay attention to that. Good for them. Hopefully, I shouldn't be like, watch him be like a pretty good wide receiver.
All right, so we are closing in on the end of our episode.
Yeah, you got off track there.
I'm not sure what time we hit record. I know we hit record early. We're coming up on a half an hour. Anyways, we are going to do a fun game. We like to do way too early games. So
we're pretty good at that.
We got I don't know about good at it. We're good at it.
No, we're terrible.
Like until the results come out.
We think we're good.
Right. Yeah. So way too early Super Bowl prediction because free agency is done and over with. The draft is done and over with. Most everything has been decided. Now, granted, there's going to be some free agent stuff. You may see a trade or two, things like that. But for the most part, all the big stuff has happened. So, French, give me your way too early AFC Super Bowl pick and NFC Super Bowl pick.
Okay, this is way too early. So I know we're going to do this a couple more times officially before week one, okay? But this is a way, way too early Super Bowl prediction, post-draft analysis, summarization, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, quick question.
I have what?
Before you say it. Is this like a hot take? Like
yeah.
Like,
it's a hot take. It's a hot take.
Is it like a serious hot take, though?
Yeah.
Or,
it's
okay,
serious.
You're being dead serious.
So the AFC team, I'm very I think it's not a hot take. It's a very popular opinion. The NFC team I'm choosing, it's a very hot take that I'm very dead serious about. I think they can do it. Okay?
Okay.
So I'll go first. Okay, so the AFC team, I'm going to choose the Bills. Okay? I don't think that's a reach of a prediction, but I think the Bills, man, I think they can really do it.
All
right. Not bad, right?
I won't argue with that.
Okay. All right, cool. So you want my MC one now?
Let's do it.
Okay. I think the NFC team is really going to be – I think it's going to be the Vikings, bro.
The Vikings.
I think Kirk Cousins could do it. Yeah. I think – dude, just look at that team, man. Bro – like, just come on. Like, Dalvin
Cook
is such
coach?
A good... Dude, yeah, okay, so I listened to a Pat McAfee episode one day when they had Kevin O'Connell on, the Rams' old offensive coordinator, and just the way he... I think the way he goes about his business and the way he coordinates his team and the way he's very open to, like, he's very quarterback-friendly. He's like, I'm going to let Kirk do whatever he feels comfortable with because, dude, every year Kirk Cousins graces that... almost grazes that top 10, but he's not can't get over that edge and that over that hump. But now Kevin O'Connell can do it. So I like it, man. And I just think he's a cool head coach. I think he'll be a rookie head coach that wins the Super Bowl his first year. I don't know, maybe I'll win. Maybe that's too far. I'm saying like the NFC team I'm choosing is gonna be the Vikings because I think it's a squad, bro, when they're healthy. That's a good team. I love Justin Jefferson, bro. I love that wide receiver.
You got Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins. I mean, you got weapons.
Yeah,
you know,
good defense
can they put
too.
It all
always
together with a rookie coach? I don't know. Now, here's the thing about the NFC. And if you're listening to this and you're an NFC fan and you disagree with them, I'm sorry. But compared to the AFC, they fucking blow.
It's open.
They're not good. they're not.
No.
Let's look at the best teams in the NFC, right? Like if I'm looking for my pick, you have the Rams. They're in a division where you would have thought that it would have been, you know, a bit of a battle with Seattle and Arizona. We don't know what's going on with Kyler Murray either. Like that's a who knows what's going on there. You know, the 49ers are reportedly like not enthused with Trey Lance. So you got Jimmy G and whatever else you got over there. You look at the NFC North, Detroit doesn't inspire any confidence. Chicago is Justin Fields is a bust. Did I say that out loud? And then you have Minnesota. And, you know, I get the Packers went wide receiver. They got Christian Watson, right?
Yeah.
Christian Watson, solid, but that's not Devontae Adams.
I don't know about that offense, man.
You know, so right there, like, to me, you have the Vikings, the Rams, and the Packers in those two divisions. Mm-hmm. You look at the NFC South, you have the Saints, which we discussed. There could be some potential on offense. I don't know. There's a lot riding on Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston. Defense, I don't know. Tampa Bay's not running anything back. Most of those free agents they ran back with, they're not there anymore. You have Tom Brady. Atlanta, Marcus Mariota, come on.
I know.
I know. I'm thinking through this out loud. Are you bored with me yet?
No, keep going. I'm listening.
Carolina, you got Sam Darnold. If, God, I'm going to sound like such a homer here. They're going to call me a Baker bro in Cleveland. If they were to get their hands on Baker Mayfield, that would make things interesting in the NFC South.
Yeah,
and then
the Panthers win a lot more games if Baker is their quarterback. So the Seahawks too. Both teams will improve.
Yes, both of them will. Like Drew Lock is not better than Baker Mayfield. I don't care who you are.
No, I don't think Geno or Drew.
I think a lot of people think that, and it's asinine to me.
It's stupid.
So NFC East, we hate that division. The Commanders aren't going to be competitive. The Giants aren't going to be competitive. That's a race between the Eagles and Cowboys, I think. And the mm-hmm. Cowboys probably have the leg up, if you ask me, just because I'm not a Jalen Hurts guy at all. I don't even like that. I don't even Bad like wolf. Seeing the Cowboys. But that's a division where I wish they'd all lose the division. Like, there could be a scenario in which there's no winner. I'm going with the Rams. They added Allen Robinson. You still got Aaron Donald. Von Miller, you lost him. He's an aging vet. Like, did he make a difference? Absolutely. For sure. Can they do it without Odell Beckham Jr.? 1,000% they can. It's got to be the Rams. I won't fight you on your Vikings pick. There's a couple teams you could pick I won't fight you on. The AFC is much more difficult to predict. There are too many good teams.
So much.
Too many good players. Really tough divisions. Like, that's not a guarantee they're going to win the Super Bowl. It just means it's that much harder to get there.
Right.
So to me, like, my gut tells me to go Buffalo like you did.
Okay.
I'm going to go with I'm going to go Chiefs Rams.
No, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Struggling with the AFC because
no, it's not bad.
I want to see the Chiefs get over the hill without Tyreek Hill. I didn't even mean to say it like that.
Have
but
a little
like,
hill.
Little hill.
little hill, but it's quick.
You know, you have, to me, the teams with the best chances of making it in the AFC. You have the Chiefs, you have the Bills. Those two stand out to me the most. You know, the rest of the AFC West is going to be a struggle. Raiders could make it interesting, but they're not. Just because you add Davante Adams, I still don't think they can necessarily get it done. The Chargers, that division sucks. If you're not the Chiefs in that division, it sucks. And, you know, I'm going to double down on the whole, I don't think Russell Wilson is legendary. Is he elite? Yes. Is he legendary? No. I don't think so. At least, you know, he could have been. I just don't think he is. I think the Chiefs take the AFC West. AFC South.
Going for the Jags, bro. You need Jags for the AFC South.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence. I got a stack of rookie cards for Trevor Lawrence. I would love if he won a Super Bowl.
Can I get some of those real quick? I hope he does. Right. I hope he wins like 7 Super Bowls for a year, bro. Like, I hope so. Trust me, I'm not guessing what Super Bowls do. You make money off your football cards. Like, I don't care. It's cool.
My worst two football card investments were Sam Darnold rookie cards.
I remember we got a shit ton of those.
I bought like an entire box of Sam Darnold rated rookies. They're all the same card, but I got them for like $4 a piece. And I was like, he had three good games for the Panthers. And I saw like an ascent that I thought was happening. I didn't get them on the market in time, so now I'm stuck holding the bag on those. And I was buying Baker Mayfield cards, like I was getting deals on them, and I'm still down like 400% right now. Somebody's got to pick them up and make something happen. Yeah.
That's so funny, bro. I remember both. I remember like you both show me both, you know, set of the Sam Darnold cards and a set of Baker Mayfield cards. You have a lot of them, bro.
Right. Like, yeah. You know, I have some behind me right here. I have two Baker Mayfield cards that are worth I don't know, 30% of what they were worth 8 months ago. Like before, you know, before that, you know, back in November or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. So that's, God, I got on a tangent. See, we're recording late.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just recorded my other show and I've been drinking. So I probably made for a better show at the beginning, but now I'm just rambling. So you got to shut me up, French.
You're good, man. You're good. No worries. No, I like your pick. I like Chiefs Rams. That's a solid pick. Like, that would probably be like a list of five picks if I had to make them. That'll probably be one of my predictions. So I like it. But all right, anyways, man. Yeah, that's it, man. We got the Landry situation. We had the Drew Brees, we had the Burks, couldn't breathe for a couple hours kind of deal. And then we had
some breaking news.
Go for it.
10:10 p.m. May 17th.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming this is breaking news. NFL running back Tariq Cohen tears Achilles tendon during training session, live streamed on his Instagram account. You know why this happened?
What?
Because I picked him up on my dynasty team 2 days ago because he was sitting there on the waiver wire, and I'm like, this is a guy that could come back and make something happen. He's young, he's talented. Ah, God. Why do I do that?
No way you got him on your dynasty team like 2 days ago. What a coincidence.
I haven't touched my dynasty team since the football season ended.
Maybe that's the one move that you should just retire that team. You got.
I have.
I don't know, man. That's curse. That's curse.
Okay. Okay. So here's a quick fantasy football thing for my dynasty team. My strategy was I'm going to own the top wide receivers. Right. I'm going to own the top wide receivers. I'm going to take serviceable quarterbacks and I'm going to draft running backs. And I was like, I can have two like marginally good running backs, but my wide receivers, it was a very contrarian strategy when I was drafting. Most people go heavy on the running backs and it's a super flex. So quarterbacks were flying off the board way too early. We're drafting from scratch. It's a 14-team Superflex league, and there's like 35 roster spots on every team. So, like, what you draft, unless you trade, like, you're pretty much stuck with. There's no signing guys off the waiver wire usually. I drafted Darius Geis as like my top running back, probably 2 weeks before his domestic violence thing happened, and then now I'm stuck with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle on the Miami Dolphins with Tua Lobbit. Tua Lobba Duck. To Tyreek Hill.
Damn.
So now I have two wide receivers for Tua Tagovailoa, and I have Michael Thomas who's been injured. My fantasy team's a disaster.
Yeah, man. You gotta retire that. It's curse. It's curse.
Yeah.
You're like the Baltimore Ravens running back room now.
Yeah, and you know what? Never mind. I'm not even going there. I'm already pissed.
All right, man. Well, that was a good one, bro. All right, you got anything else, man?
No, I don't think so.
Anything else you're passionate about before we close?
No, I don't think so. I'm wearing if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it or wherever. I'm wearing my Cleveland Browns Joe Hayden jersey because I can now because he's not a Pittsburgh Steeler. Just saying.
Hey, he's a good core. That's a good jersey. That was a sick jersey, man. I liked it, Joe Hayden, Florida guy.
He posted a photo on his Instagram this past week of it was him looking at himself. I think it was, but he posted him in a Cleveland Browns jersey and a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. Got the Browns fans chattering a little bit.
That's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. That is it for us on Ginger's Talk Football tonight. Thanks for joining in. We are going to go ahead and get this on. Stop. Now I'm all fucked up.
So here, go ahead. Completely start. Just say, hey, is there? I'll just say, hey, is there anything else you got, man?
Okay, go ahead.
You're good. Well, let me go ahead and start this real quick. 43. It's all good, man. It's kind of late too, so we're both kind of just a little tired. All right. All right, man. You got anything else before we close out the show?
Nope, that's it, man. That great show today. Great talking football. We are going to do our best to be back next week. And make sure you find us on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. We would certainly appreciate it. But also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are on all 4 of those platforms. And we're going to be posting video content now. So we are recording video. If you haven't noticed it, we're going to be posting a lot more video content. So make sure you check that out. Mm-hmm. It's a new way to interact with the show. Leave us a comment, like, follow us, subscribe, all of the above. That's all I got for today. You can find us at Official Gingers on Twitter, at Gingers Talk Football on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We just search for Gingers Talk Football, and you'll find us there. We're available everywhere podcasts are found. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Gingers Talk Football. Subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on Twitter at Official Gingers. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Gingers Talk Football.